I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Hello, everybody out there. We're so happy to today to have some almost neighbors of ours, Melissa and Dan Postel, who are in suburban Maryland. They've been married for 11 years, have four kids. If that sounds familiar to you, that's because you've been listening and know that Julie and I have four kids together. Dan is a federal service worker. Melissa is an online entrepreneur of sorts and has a lot of some interesting work that she does. And the two of them are juggling family, work, and trying to stay together during all of this. So yep. Welcome aboard.
Sounds about right. Everything sounds
welcome.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to tell you, because I want Julie to talk about it, that there was something in particular that that Julie saw on one of your social media posts that we looked at and said, okay, we got to talk to these two folks, because you reminded us of us.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah. So absolutely. So I follow you on Instagram, and one of your stories, you were in the car and you were driving to school to bring a lunch or lunches to one of your kids that forgot the lunch. And I remember you said that your dad had chimed in and said, why did you do that? Are you, raising weak children? And I thought to myself, well, that is such a dilemma that we had many, many years ago that I think a lot of parents are still trying to figure out, like, how do you, have natural consequences for your kids? When do you do, for your kids, and when do you hold back? And I just love that you were just posting about it and talking about it and thinking about it. And I thought, I need to talk to that lady about that and hear more about that. So that's sort of what prompted us to invite you on the podcast.
Right. I remember that day. It was towards the end of the school year. And as experienced parents, it's like by April, May, you're just like, okay, I'm almost done. I'm almost at the finish line. And so things kind of fall off. And we have systems in our house. It's really the only way that we can make it work with running. So my online business is actually my newest venture. I started as a contractor with the family business. So I run multiple brick mortar and service businesses. And then my online business came about with so many people being, having the same interest and question that you had, which is how do you juggle it all? How do you handle working with your father? And as I'm raising my kids in front of my family on a regular daily basis, because I work with the family, there's a lot of crossover. So that day, normally I have a 10 a.m. meeting with dad and we go over everything at all the different job sites. And I popped on my other business being like, yeah, so dad is very old school. You forget your lunch, you forget this, you forget that. You're going to be hungry till you get home, so you don't forget that. And I, now that I'm a parent, I understand the balance of that. I appreciate what that taught me. And Dan, your mom's very similar to my dad. Well, yeah. At the time. See, now they're grandparents, so it's a little different.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. So, yeah. But
so Dan, let me ask you a question.
My dad were very similar. And so that day, I said, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. I got to run to the school, drop off lunches. And he was just like, what are you doing? They're going to think that the world revolves around them. And I was just like, oh. And it relates to a lot of my new followers on my new platform, because a lot of us are really young parents. And, we live in an age where a two income household is very normal and it's very hard. And so I've connected with a lot of my followers on, whether it's a business or a career, or even if one runs a business and one's a full-time stay-at-home mom, that's a full-time job in and of itself, that how do you juggle it all? And so that's what I said, I'm right there with you. I'm running the lunches, but what do you guys think? And I think the poll results were pretty, I said, would you have run the lunch boxes? Do it, but don't do it when they're older, and then never. And I think most people were kind of where we were in the middle of where it was like, you know, my kids are still young. They're all elementary school, pre-K. So we both agreed that, you know, if they're like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, or even high school, like, no, I'm not going to bring you your lunch. You should have remembered that. But since our system failed the night before for not putting the lunch boxes in, we said, okay, that was like 50% their fault for not checking to see if it was in the bag before they left. And then 50% our fault because we like didn't put it in the night before like we normally do, you know.
So Dan, yeah, let me ask you this.
It's hard. Yeah.
Dan, so tell us first, I want to hear a little bit about your family, how old your kids are. And then Melissa just mentioned something interesting that I'd like you to speak to. She said you have systems in place. So I'm interested to know, you know, tell us a little bit about your family, the ages of your kids, you know, the hours of everybody's work, and what are these systems that you mentioned,
So our children, like I said, we have four. So our oldest is 10 and our youngest is 2. And then in between, there's a 4 and a 6-year-old. And we have 2 boys and 2 girls. So we're a pretty good mix of personalities and energies in the house. And one of the things that, as far as systems goes, because we're so busy especially when they're little. There's practices and recitals and activities for school and just the constant running, not to mention with, you know, our jobs, that we have tried, and Melissa's been a big proponent of it just because of her not only just her background, but just her organizational style, where it's like, these are the things that help me with work. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of been like on her platform since she started in December, where it's like, these are the things that have helped me be successful. So we implement those, you know, at home. And then on her page, she'll try to, you know, show those things to her, all of her followers, so that they can maybe implement them and find similar success. So, like, as far as like something for lunches, so I take the lead on packing. So what I try to do is like a system that I've done is I try to do it at a certain time. Maybe when I take all their stuff out from their bags when they get home, so that, you know, in between, you know, them doing homework and different things, maybe I'll pack them then so it's done. Another thing that I might do is incorporate like what we had for dinner that night, because my kids, they're sort of funny. Like, some of them, it's like, PB&J is okay. But like, we have 2 kids. It's like, oh, I love what we had for dinner last night. And they'll eat it cold and they'll eat it. And so it's like, okay, that's easy. I'll do that. And that was very much like me when I was growing up. So I understand that. So it just kind of makes it easier for me. And then in the mornings, so like, my schedule is a little bit different. So like, I'm an early bird. So like, I'm at my desk at, you know, anywhere between 4 a.m. and 5:30. So I'm up early. She's up at like a normal, normal business time, you know, like 9 to 5, like, you know, for like a business hours. And so what I'll do is I will make sure, inclusive of lunches, is I'll try to have system, like, you know, systems in place that we have where it's like, okay, maybe I'll lay all the kids' shoes out. You know, their mudroom might be a mess. And it's like in the midst of it, like, let's say you're running late. Because this is another thing that maybe you guys have experienced when the kids were younger, is that if you're spending 10 minutes finding a shoe, then that's 10 minutes late for school and 10 minutes late for practice. And it just sort of piles on and snowballs, on and on for the rest of like whatever you have going on. So I try to make sure that I'm like, okay, well, what can I do in the morning besides like put their lunches in their backpacks? It's like, okay, in case there's a morning where we have an issue, or just to make it easier in general, it's like, okay, what can I do to help? What can I do to be more helpful so that they have an easier time in the morning? So that's just an example, but like, there's a myriad of different things that we have like that.
And the system came because like what I'll like, so I'm with the kids, I handle morning drop off, getting ready. And so what it's like evolved over time where I'm like, okay, so we passed off lunch making to you. And then I'm like, okay, now one more kid's going to school. And so we need to like tighten the timeline. So like, okay, let's put you do the lunch boxes in the backpacks instead of me. Yeah. And like, it just sort of like the system keeps kind of building itself because I look at the inefficiency and I'm like, oh, okay, well, why don't we try this? And he's like, oh, that's easy. That takes me 2 seconds and everyone's asleep. Like, so they kind of build themselves as to like what's, you know, what works, what's not working. It's a constant tweaking.
Yeah. I remember as you're talking about the lunches. So we have four kids also. And then David would take his lunch to the office when he used to go in person. So we literally on Sunday made all the sandwiches for the week. So that's 20 sandwiches.
Yeah.
And we would freeze them. And sometimes it would be turkey wrap. Sometimes it would be peanut butter and jellies. But we just did that. Sunday nights was, and people used to laugh. I remember your father came over and he's like, what are you doing? Because our counter was just full of tinfoil and sandwich making stuff. But it saved our mornings. I mean, that's how we you know, kept sane.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that, you know, you two have taken what works in your business and your work world, you know, administratively, for lack of a better word, and applied it to your family life, which I think is very cool. And we talk a lot about that, you know, under the umbrella of sort of goal setting, right? So in your business, I'm sure, Melissa, you have certain goals. You want to see where you want to, whether they're financial, whether it's growth, whatever it may be. And you set those goals and you check in. And most business people do that, but very few couples will check in, set goals, check in, see where they are. So it's very cool to me that you're taking, you know, your skills, the two of you are taking these business skills and applying them to managing your family. And it is managing a family.
I think that's what we figured out. You know, obviously marriage is like hard work and there was abundant amount of love between us, but it was sort of like figuring out like, okay, like, What works for you? What works for me? And then sort of even just with what I love about business and what draws me to it is that it really, like you said, takes the emotions out of it. You know, it's not so much like this individual. It's that what's the collective. And I've actually commented to Julie a couple of times on your goal setting, how much I love that, because I talk about that to a lot of people. As I said, we literally regularly sit down. We have like quarterly like board meetings is what we call them. And we actually have like a spiral notebook. We pull it out. We get, we have one wine night usually. And right. like we'll nice. Sit down and then sometimes we'll have to redo that meeting. But it kind of takes the edge off when you write it down. And, you know, and it does help because it takes, I tell them, I'm like, the same way that you're, you know, you might be frustrated with your business partner or some of your employees, we're allowed to be frustrated, but we're a team working to make this a success with the business. And that's the same thing. That's why I really think that what moms do are really valuable in the home, especially if some families set it up really well, where one, you know, the traditional style, or if you're juggling two careers, no matter what that looks like, there's just has to be systems and goal setting. And it really takes that, for me, it makes it easy because it's like, okay, did you hit that metric or not? It's not so much a blame game. It shifts it to is this supporting the family or the business? Or is it not? Is this a behavior that's helping us or hurting us? And how can we fix it? It sort of becomes the house rules and the family rules. And it's not, he said this, she said that, I said this. And it actually works really well with the kids too.
Yeah, I think another point to that is, you know, constantly, not only just communication, but I think also just making sure that you, because obviously, you know, every day, you know, weeks, months, they evolve is what, you know, the family dynamic is what we have going on. And maybe, you know, kids are getting older and entering different stages, things like that. And I think with us, it's also, you know, we're, I guess, traditionally untraditional. I don't even know if that made, like, it's, my house is a very traditional house, growing up. And so like, for me, like I saw one way and then, but you know, my siblings and our, you know, our life was a little bit different as far as like, you know, how our house was run. You know, my parents weren't business owners. They were just, you know, kind of, you know, like my mom worked in federal service and my dad, he was an engineer. He worked for a big firm. And so he was a breadwinner. Mom was home most of the time. And so that's sort of how our family was. With us, it's not, it's very different. So, which is great. And for me, it was, a lot of, and still is a learning curve, you know, to change how my mindset of how I was, you know, what I saw growing up and how know, I saw things versus like what I have to do to make, to help make what we do every day, you know, mm-hmm. successful. It's just different. So I think with that, and also just like I said, communicating in that regard, because there's so much, you know, change and things going on. That's like, okay, what, like she said, what can we do to sort of make this better, help out each other, and you know, move forward as the kids get older.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, I have two questions in mind, and I don't want to lose them. So the first one is, you know, how do you work out differences? Because what I'm hearing Dan say is that he came from maybe more of a traditional background. And how do you work out differences, whether it's you shouldn't bring the lunch or you should bring the lunch, or, you know, the way that you parent is different. You're two different people. So I want to find out about how you work out your differences in parenting. And then I want to find out what you do to stay connected. I'm hearing, you know, that there's a meeting with a spiral notebook and a goal setting, but I want to know
and some wine,
which I love that.
There you go. Don't forget that.
Yeah, so I would love for you guys to speak to those two points. How do you guys work out your differences?
So when something like sometimes when the lunch thing comes up, like we've gotten to the point. So in the beginning, it was a lot of like, you know, just making sure we weren't blaming each other. And I'm a big proponent of therapy. My family was actually the complete opposite of a traditional setup. I had two entrepreneur parents, both very busy. And I had a lot of grandmother involvement in my day-to-day life. So we literally came, like, couldn't have come from more different backgrounds. And so pretty early on in our marriage, I would say the first year was rough for us. And at the time, like, we had spent all of our money buying a house, and trees fell on our house, and we're planning a wedding and building a house at the same time. So we were kind of really thrown into the deep end of, like, how do we adjust to all of these differences? And we recruited a therapist pretty early on. And we were like, okay, like we kind of made a decision 6 months in. We're like, is this working or not? We've been together for 6 years and we're fighting more than ever from this wedding and this house. Like, what does this mean for us? And we enlisted professionals.
I love that.
Which is what I do best as a business owner. You know, it's like, okay, if I need the best concrete guy for this really complicated, you know, construction of a hospital, like I'm going to hire the best concrete guy. So we found therapy pretty early on. And we both went. We went individually in the beginning, right?
Right.
I'm trying to remember. That was like 11 years ago. And then we kind of just got a game plan where it was like, if something bothers you, like, what was it? Don't fester. Set a time that's separate, that's not at the moment, you know, if differences do arise, you know, like kind of at the end of the week, recap, that's where we got the wine idea, was like, sit down in a non-confrontational way. And I'm not a beer person. They said, grab a beer. So I ended up just grabbing wine. And he's like, well, I don't want to open up beer by myself, so I'll just help you finish the wine.
Love it.
Yeah,
that's a team player right there.
Team player, Dan.
Oh, there you go.
He is.
I love that.
And then we try to have a lot of fun. Dan's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of things to connect.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to that is, we try to keep, you know, because the way I sort of view life is that it's, yeah, it's so it's hard enough as it is with, you know, dealing with everything that, you know, you guys, I'm sure, have going on and have had going on, and, you know, things that we have in day life. And so when we come home with the kids, like we try to keep it as light as we can, even with each other. You know, I try to, like, you know, I learned that from my dad. He's a, you know, he's a big, you know, jokester. And, you know, he was always one. I was like, let's keep it light, you know. And So I sort of tried to, I naturally do that too. It's like, I will crack jokes and just try to get people to laugh, just because, you know, laughter's really good. It's a good breaker up of, you know, moods that might be bad, or just like, you know, just makes everything a little bit lighter, and it's good therapy, like laughter.
I love that. Well. And that we are big proponents of laughing and humor and relationships. Right. I think it's a coping mechanism to get through hard stuff. And David and I definitely have used that. But I also love what I'm hearing, which is that you like to have fun together, but you can also dig in and do the hard stuff too. You can have those hard conversations. And honestly, like, I think if someone said to me, okay, what are the secrets, you know, what's the secret sauce for a good relationship? I would be able to say those two things, having fun, but also being able to do the hard stuff together. If you can't have both of those, then it's probably not going to work.
And let me follow up a little bit, Melissa, because you're clearly, you come from a background with two parents who sound like they were running all the time. And in addition to, if I don't know if you have any siblings or not, but managing.
I have one younger sister, yeah.
All right, so two kids. And now you have four of your own. You're managing multiple business interests. Do you ever have any difficulty sort of cutting that tether, you know, between whether it's your phone, whether it's your computer, whatever it is, your kids are home? Is there any, do you find it hard at all to sort of turn off or check out? And how do you manage that?
Because you've got a really busy family. It's really tough. I think I've gotten better with it. And I also think that he's gotten more understanding of the lifestyle that comes with an entrepreneurial, like, family lifestyle. What's been more challenging that we're working on more now is actually the extended family boundaries, because those lines get blurred very quickly and very easily. And that's why I popped on my stories and talked about the lunches, because they're seeing, you know, if you didn't work with your family or have meetings with your family, you know, they wouldn't really have an opinion on if you took your kids lunch to school or not, because they wouldn't know. They're just not in that day to day. But when you're pushing things, you know, with your business partner who happens to be your father, you know, mm-hmm. that you get a lot of unsolicited opinions. Mm-hmm. So I don't struggle with as much, because when Dan's very good at catching my attention. He comes home. I mean, I'm like so stressed out with work and I have so many different things. And even if we're like at odds with one another, like, he has a great way of, like, he'll bring a piece of cake to me, or he'll be like, awesome. Hey, you want to hang out and have some wine later? Like, you know, he's just, and so I will say, like, I light up. And even when we've had really some really difficult runs in our relationship from outside stressors, mostly medical with, you know, the kids or ourselves and things like that, you know, we always remind each other, like, okay, like, we're on the same team here, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I don't light up when I see you, or, you know, and so for me, it's easy to put my phone down when my kids are home or my husband's home. That's kind of why we have one of the systems we have is I take morning shifts and he does PM shifts. Mm-hmm. It's the only way that we can kind of get coverage to get both of us to have a full 8-hour day. And then the kids are smack dab in the middle of that day. But yeah, I'm very good at, like, you know, nope, I'm on do not disturb, don't bother me. Like, and I've been very clear with everyone in my businesses. You know, when I'm available, I'm available very much so there. But as soon as I'm done, like, I'm checked out, you can get that answer tomorrow. And it was a little bit of what I wanted my kids to experience different as a parent point of view, because I was in the kids' position with an entrepreneur parent for a long time. And then also what I wanted for our life to be like. And so, and my business, that's actually been really great, because then also even the people in my businesses, I'm like, go home to your kids, turn your phone off. We can do this in the morning. Yeah. And it's just leading by example in your company, what you want them to do as well. You know, the most important work you'll do is at home. And that's the biggest difference that you'll see and you'll make. I mean, so my businesses are important, but to me, they are a tool to get the life that we want. And, you know, but that's also what I created my platform for, is both of my curriculums are executive functioning skills and business strategies, because mm-hmm. without the two of those, I wouldn't be able to manage and juggle all of those. That's what I'm constantly working on, is the time management, making sure there's boundaries, making sure that there's systems in place. What can I outsource? I mean, we started doing Instacart as soon as it was introduced, because I said, I'm the one grocery shopping and I like could totally use that. I mean, I don't care about the 10% markup. That's going to bring us back tenfold within even just the value in our marriage. So we're not fighting over like, oh, when am I going to go to the store by myself? Right. So it's a juggle, but it's really what I really, really wanted. And he's great way of getting my attention.
It's good. Yeah. We talk a lot about, we came up with this idea, this sort of no tech 90 or no tech 45 or no tech 30. You know,
sometimes it's no tech 10 minutes for me.
For her, it's more of a struggle, but you know, you go out and you see people who are, who are with their families or with each other, whether it's on a date or whatever they're doing, and they have their heads in their phones. And it just, it struck us as that needs to be something that's talked about. Now, interestingly, this comes on the heels of yesterday. I was with my granddaughter, and we had played about 17 games of hide and seek, and I had run out of places to hide. And so I took a look at my phone, and she says to me, "Get off your phone. We got to play hide and seek." And in that minute, I felt so bad, even though I'd played hide and seek. How many more times I can hide in a bathtub? I don't know.
Right.
But I felt bad. I felt bad. And it sounds to me like you guys are doing a good job of trying to figure out and manage that kind of technology, because that's a big part of our lives and a big part of your businesses.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, our kids are smaller still, but for like our two older kids, I think they're at an age where, you can explain a little bit more. So especially like our 10-year-old, and he won't complain necessarily as far as like, hey, you get off your phone type of thing. But I think the kids notice definitely if, we're not present, if we're in the phones or play with us, especially the younger ones. But what I try to do, and Melissa does as well, is for the older kids, is we try to let them know a little bit about like, hey, we're not on our phones on YouTube all the time or doing things like that. It's like we're shopping or we're trying to buy something, like, because if we're redoing a room or whatever it is, like something for them, or
we'll invite them in too. Like sometimes, like I'll be like, okay, like I'm gonna come play with you, but I am still working. My phone might ring, so I might have to pause. Like we try to just be very like communicating, because also I think the phone is gonna be a tool that they need to actually balance a little bit more than us, even, because I went to back to school night last night and they revealed like this whole iPad car and this is for pre-K 3. And I'm like, whew. Mm. So the technology is not going anywhere. So I really try to lead by example. And so and like you said, the bigger ones, I'll be like, okay, well, Ryan's birthday is this week and I'm trying to find a present for them on Amazon. Do you want to help me pick? So, it's really just, making sure that they know when I'm working, when I'm doing things for the house, and being transparent. Because one thing I think that I saw a lot of, because with the difference between, is his mom would like go to the grocery store at night after they went to bed. So he was not very aware of the intricacies and how much went into just grocery
shopping.
Just woke
up and there was food in the refrigerator.
That's right. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you went to the job site all day and we're going to meet your mom at Costco and we're going to get this. And like, it was very much like thrown into the mix of it. And so we're like finding that balance of the hybrid where it's like, okay, I don't want to necessarily like schlep the kids, but I want them to be aware that the food just doesn't show up in the morning when you wake up and there's like, a fresh stack of pancakes there, So we try to separate like in boxes, what's work, what's household and what's fun. And then we just have very, very strict boundaries about, being on the phone and when we're accessible. And people have opinions on that too, especially coming from a two-parent entrepreneurial household, is it's like, what do you, I actually, one of the best things that my therapist told me early on that I actually shared with my dad is I was like, well, the phone is for my convenience, not the world's convenience. And so it's just a lot of tweaking, a lot of adjusting, and a lot of like, we know what we need to do and just making sure we do them. But it's hard. It's much easier said than done.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think there's a lot of couples, a lot of folks who could learn a lot from the two of you and also from your business, Melissa.
Thank you.
If people want to reach out and want to learn more about what you guys do or what you do, Melissa, in your executive functioning work, what's the best way for them to find y'all?
They can go onto my website. It's melissabpostel.com. I also have an Instagram as well. It's melissa.b.postel on Instagram. So I've recently launched just to talk about how, executive functioning skills and business strategies are the way that you can, executive functioning skills are how you can thrive in life. And then business strategies is how you can take those skills, combine it with some strategic nuances, and then make some good money. And that way you can have the best of all the worlds. And that's, I have a curriculum. They can hire me as a one-on-one coach. And Dad's just the comedic relief.
You'll see me every once in a while. Yeah, I'll be on there.
He's
so.
He's the funny.
Yeah. Dan will add the fun. You'll give the skills and Dan will be the fun guy.
And folks out there, we will include all the contact information in the show notes so you'll be able to reach out directly. We want to thank you guys so much for coming on. This has been great in some ways. Go ahead.
I want to thank you guys. You guys are just such couple goals and family goals. I mean, I told Dan when I shared with him what we were doing, I was like, they're kind of like badasses. Like, they're really cool. They've got their careers. They've got their kids. And, you know, we know that that's not easy. And so, you know, we're very appreciative of even your positive feedback on us, because that gives us, you know, it's like, okay, we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, no, you guys are doing great. And, we would love to just, you know, stay in touch with you. If you ever have questions about, you know, how to do something or what do we think, we're always here.
We're liable to have screwed it up 20 years ago.
So. Yeah, you can learn from our mistakes.
So folks, if you're looking to find us, we're www.thebullets is our website. We're on at The Bullets, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn,
YouTube.
And that is all for today. Melissa and Dan, thank you so much for your time. You got to get back to those systems. We'll talk to you soon.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Julie Bullet is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullet is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.